바야. 옴 나모 바그베테 와수데바야. 옴 나모 바그베테 와수데바야.
시무드 바구담 Canto 11, Chapter 13, Text 36. Deham chanashvaram avasthitam uttitam va. Chanashvaram avasthitam uttitam va. Siddho na pashyati yato adhyagamat swarupam. दैवादपेतमथ दैववशादुपेतम् वासो यथा परिकृतं मदीरमदान्धः देहं च नश्वरमवस्थितमुत्थितं वा सिद्धो न पश्यति यतो अध्यगमत् स्वरूपम् दैवादपेतमथ दैववशादपि उपेतम् वासो यथा परिकृतं मदिरा मदान्धः देहं च नश्वरम् अवस्थितमुत्थितं वा सिद्धो न पश्यति यतो जगमात् स्वरूपम् एहं च नश्वरमुपस्थितम् उत्थितं वा सिद्धो न पश्यति यतो जगमात् स्वरूपम् दैवादपेतमथ उपेतम् वासो यथा परिकृतं मदिरा मदान्धः देहं च नश्वरमवस्थितमुत्थितं वा सिद्धो न पश्यति यतो जगमात् स्वरूपम् दैवादपेतमथ दैववशादपेतम्
Dhamma Dhamma.
Word for word translation. Deham, the material body. Cha, also. Nashwaram, to be destroyed. Avasthitam, seated. Uttitam, risen. Va, or. Siddha, one who is perfect. Napashyati, does not see. Vyataha, because. Adhyagamat, he has achieved. Swarupam, his actual spiritual identity. Daivat, by destiny. Apetam, departed. Atha, or thus. Daiva, of destiny. Vashat, by the control. Upetam, achieved. Vasaha, clothes. Yatha, just as. Parikritam, placed on the body. Madira, of liquor. Mada, by the intoxication. Andhaha, blinded. Translation purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Just as a drunken man does not notice if he is wearing his coat or shirt, similarly one who is perfect in self-realization and who has thus achieved his eternal identity does not notice whether the temporary body is sitting or standing. Indeed, if by God's will the body is finished, or if by God's will he obtains a new body, a self-realized soul does not notice, just as a drunken man does not notice the situation of his outward dress. Purport. A Krishna conscious person who has achieved his spiritual identity does not accept sense gratification in the material world as the goal of his life. He is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord and knows that the temporary body and flickering mind are material. By superior intelligence in Krishna consciousness, he remains engaged in the Lord's service. The example of a drunken man in this verse is very nice. It is common knowledge that at mundane social gatherings, men become drunk and lose all awareness of their external situation. Similarly, a liberated soul has already achieved his spiritual body and therefore knows that his continued existence does not depend on the material body. A liberated soul does not, however, inflict punishment on the body, but rather remains neutral, naturally accepting his destiny as the will of the Supreme. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanishalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaiva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam gives a provocative analogy to illustrate the nature of the spiritually realized state. It compares a very spiritually advanced person to an intoxicated person. It states that actually just as an intoxicated person is no longer aware of one's surroundings, even one's own clothing. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person is not aware of one's surroundings, even one's own body, which is the Bhagavad Gita compared to one's clothing. So in the last Bhagavatam class, I talked about how everybody wants to escape from reality. I talked about escape from reality, which is sought through fiction. People want to watch cartoons and movies, read novels, and escape into a fictional world. So there is the real, and there is the fictional, and there is the spiritual. So material world is itself boring. So we all want to escape from it. So most people escape from the boring material level of reality to the fictional level. But that is illusory. That doesn't offer any lasting result. So instead of escaping from reality, from physical reality to fictional world, what the scriptures tell us is escape from physical reality to spiritual reality. So the physical reality is itself not very enjoyable. So now intoxication is another way in which people escape from the physical reality to some other mentally imagined reality. And when they escape in this way, the whole idea is they want to feel better. You know, when people take intoxication, they go high. They feel as if they are rulers of the world. You know, a person who is intoxicated thinks that the person, that I can do anything. They can't even walk a few steps without stumbling. But they think I'm going to conquer the whole world. So, the nature of intoxication is disconnection from physical reality. Whatever, normally, if somebody is driving a car, I told you, you cannot be intoxicated, otherwise you'll be severely punished. Because people, when they're intoxicated, are disconnected from physical reality. And this disconnection is sought because we all find physical reality boring. Most people live at the sensual level for sensory pleasure. And if you consider sensory pleasure, how long can one enjoy it? If somebody thinks that I will eat and enjoy, Okay, you can eat and enjoy. But how long can one eat? We eat for some time. After that, the stomach becomes full and we can't eat anymore. So, how many of you have heard of the Egyptian pharaohs? Yeah. So, thank you. So, some of you may know that their bodies were preserved as mummies. So, now these Egyptian pharaohs tried to find a way around the body's limitation. You can't eat much. So, they had their own physicians. So, they would have golden bowls, golden plates in which they would eat feasts. And then, after that, they had their physicians make for them painless vomiting pills. And then whatever they would eat, they would take up and vomit it all out. And the stomach would become empty and they would eat again. And this way, they tried to enjoy. They tried to extend the body's capacity to eat and enjoy by filling the stomach and emptying the stomach. But our capacity to eat is determined not just by whether our stomach is empty or full. Every time the food goes inside through the alimentary canal, the body has to process it. And it gets exhausted. So if you just keep taking food in and out, then the body gets overworked. So those pharaohs who tried it, they all died young. And after that, on one of the Egyptian pyramids, a saying has been put over there. It is said that you live on 1/4 of what you eat. On the remaining 3/4 lives your physician. You live on 1/4 of what you eat, and the remaining 3/4. So people eat a lot and that causes problems. So the point which I am making is that at a physical level, when we try to enjoy with the senses, the pleasure we can have is always limited. So if I think the enjoyment in life is eating, then when I have good food to eat, I enjoy. When the food to eat is not good, I feel distressed. And in between, I'm bored. What to do? I'm simply looking forward the next time when I can eat some good food. So life at the physical level is boring. So I talked about entertainment, where we try to take in something which is primarily for the mental titillation, which transports us to another reality. But another way of doing it is through intoxication. So take in some substances which transport the thoughts to another world. So actually the soul is spiritual, but the soul's consciousness is rooted through the mind to the body. And the way the soul functions depends on how well the body is functioning. So for example, if I want to lift up something, but I have got pain in my hand, then I will not be able to lift it up. Although I am here, I have the desire to lift it, I will not be able to lift it up. So if somebody comes and injures my hand, then I will not be able to lift up things. So similarly, when we take intoxication, that intoxication interferes with the functioning of the brain. Chemicals affect the way our brain processes reality. And when that happens, the consciousness comes from the soul to the mind, to the brain, and instead of the brain acting as a channel for the consciousness to go outwards so that it can process reality, the consciousness gets distorted. It goes somewhere else. So, these kind of substances, they are called as psychedelic substances. They try to change the state of the mind. And the whole idea is, because life is boring, intoxication is a way to escape from that boredom. Now here the example is given that a spiritually advanced state is like the state of an intoxicated person. Means what? Again, the spiritually advanced person is actually disconnected from reality. Is not aware of reality. But there is a big difference between the disconnection from physical reality of a materially intoxicated person and a spiritually intoxicated person. So I'll talk about this difference in three concepts, three C's: consciousness, content, and consequence. Consciousness. Now, what is the consciousness with which a person takes intoxication? And what is the consciousness of a spiritually advanced person? One of the great spiritual teachers in the Indian tradition was Shankaracharya. And Shankaracharya once was going with his disciples. And he, as he was going along, they came to a liquor bar. And he took up a, at that time there were no bottles, there were pots. So he took a pot and he drank the liquor. And his disciples, oh, Acharya is drinking. They also drank. And as he was drinking, he said, Sarvam Kalma Midam Brahma. Everything is Brahman. And after that, soon after that, they came to a blacksmith shop. And there was molten iron over there. And he picked that up and he drank that also. Nothing. And he looked at his disciples. Nobody was ready to drink. Why? Because he was at a different state entirely. So, a spiritually advanced person sees things entirely differently. And a materially conscious person simply thinks, oh, this is enjoyable, so let me drink it. Oh, this is painful, let me not do it. So basically, the consciousness of a person who is drunk is that that person is unable to face reality, is unable to face the problems of life. And because of being unable to face life's problems, because of not getting what they want in their life, they just escape to somewhere else. So the consciousness is basically escapism. We can't face problems. They're running away from the emptiness and the distressfulness of life. Whereas in spiritual growth, we're not running away, we are rising above. Running away means we stay at the same material level but just run away from the problem. And the problem comes back again. After the person is intoxicated, when they come back, the problems are still there. And sometimes during the intoxication, they have done certain things which make the problems worse. But in spiritual growth, we don't run away, we rise above. And rise above means we understand there is a higher reality. And we aim for that higher reality. And this difference, running away and rising above. Now if you compare relatively speaking, running away is easy. How can we rise up? You know, unless somebody is pulling us up or there's some staircase or some way to rise up, it's not so easy. So that's why the nature of material intoxication is very easy. You can just take a drink and go ahead. So this brings us to the next point, that is content. So content means, how does one get intoxicated? So Srila Prabhupada came to America at that time. Many people were taking drugs. And they thought that taking drugs will give them spiritual idea, understanding. So in fact, there was this drug called LSD. Now, LSD is a chemical name. But those people who started taking LSD, they started calling it a spiritual drug. And those who take LSD, they renamed themselves as, we all take LSD and we belong to LSD. LSD is the League of Spiritual Discovery. So, by taking LSD, we will make spiritual discoveries. That was their idea. So, Srila Prabhupada, when he was presented this, Prabhupada said that, actually, you cannot gain spiritual realization by taking something material. The material can only provide the material, produce the material. The material cannot produce the spiritual. He said, if the ultimate spiritual reality, the ultimate spiritual reality is God. And if we say that God can be realized by something material, then that means God is producible or God is controllable by that material thing. So it's not like that. So material things cannot give us spiritual realization. Now what about when we take prasad, when we hear kirtans, when we come to the temple and take darshan? Now these are material manifestations, or these are manifestations of the divine in matter. They are themselves not material. So when you take prasadam, it is spiritual food. It is food that is spiritualized by offering. When you come and see the deities, they are not material. Although Krishna may be manifested in matter, it is Krishna who is manifesting. So, in terms of content, we take something material to try to get somewhere higher. But in terms of content, in spiritual growth, we try to connect with Krishna. We try to absorb ourselves in Krishna. So it is Krishna who lifts us up. Krishna who raises our consciousness up. And thus, the content involves some effort. Krishna broadly compares material and spiritual pleasures. And he says in 18.37-38 that what is the nature of material pleasures? Vishayendriya sanyoga dyatadagre amritopamam pariname vishamiva tatsukham raja samsmitam. He says, this, we are now talking about the consequence that when Krishna says, when we enjoy worldly objects, they taste like nectar in the beginning, but they taste like poison in the end. They taste like poison in the end means that eventually people just get bound. They drink and drink and they don't know what happened to me. How did I get bound like this? This is a British author, Oscar Wilde. He said, giving up smoking is the easiest thing in the world. I have done it over 100 times. So, you've given it over 100 times. Why do you have to give it up again? Giving up once is enough. You know, we give up smoking, but the smoking doesn't give us up. It keeps catching us again and again and again. So, the consequence is, there's a little initial pleasure, but after that we get the poison. The poison is the bondage. The person gets addicted, and they just can't give it up. So, get completely bound. Whereas, the nature of spiritual happiness is that Krishna says, yattadagre vishamiva pariname amritopamam tatsukham sattvikam proktam atmabuddhi prasadajam. He said, that which tastes like poison in the beginning, but it will taste like nectar in the end. Now, that means initially there is some difficulty. So, why is this difficulty there when we try to become spiritually intoxicated? That difficulty is there because our mind does not focus. Our mind does not connect with Krishna. So, when our mind does not connect with Krishna, remembering Krishna, connecting with Krishna, absorbing ourselves in Krishna is like a flow of nectar. But our mind is caught. You say, sometimes when children are very small, they don't want to eat food. So the mother is, and they have to feed with a spoon. And the mother is trying to say, give some liquid to the child. And the liquid is delicious. But somehow the child is not ready to drink. And as soon as the mother puts a spoon, the child moves the face away. Mother tries to pour it, the child moves the face away. And again moves it, again. Every time the mother is trying to feed, the child is moving the face away. Child is moving the face away. And then, the child doesn't drink at all. So like that, we try to practice bhakti, but our mind is like the child. It keeps moving away. Hare Krishna. Okay, what is there for prasad today? Hare Krishna. Okay, I have to do so much work after this. Krishna, Krishna. I'm tired. Hare, Hare. Oh, come on, when will this end? So, our tongue is saying Hare Krishna, but our mind is chanting many other things. So, because of this, our mind just goes here, goes there, and we don't connect with Krishna. But somehow, if the child just takes a little drop, hey, this is nice. I was thinking something else will be nice. This is nice. And as the child keeps tasting it more and more, the child says, hey, this is nice. And the child wants more and more. So like that, for the child, initially, it's going to go here and there, and the mother gets the face back. Hey, what are you doing? I don't want to eat. Again, the child puts the face away. And again, mother gets the face back. Child doesn't like this force. So, similarly, when we have to practice bhakti, initially, some force is required. But this force in bhakti is voluntary force. It is, sadhana bhakti is actually voluntary force. We have to force ourselves. We have to recognize with our intelligence that this actually is going to give me happiness. And when we have that understanding, then when we practice bhakti, then we slowly start raising our consciousness to the spiritual level. And as our consciousness goes to the spiritual level, we start experiencing reality at an entirely different dimension. Once we start experiencing spiritual reality, the material reality doesn't affect us so much. This example here of a self-realized person not worrying about one's clothes. This is illustrated in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Krishna played his flute, many of the gopis, they were in their homes dressing themselves. And they were so captivated that they just came. Some of them, and they put, it is said that some of them, they put their upper cloth below and lower cloth above. And they did not dress themselves properly, just rushed out to Krishna. And normally we all like to look good. Especially if a young woman is going to meet her lover, she will want to look very good. But here, the gopis are going to meet Krishna, and they're so attracted by Krishna that they're not even concerned about their appearance. How did this happen? This happens because Krishna is so attractive. Now, of course, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, when they reach Krishna, their clothes are all wonderfully arranged. But at that time, when they go, they don't care. They just don't care for anything. They care only for Krishna. And that same exalted mood of spiritual intoxication was demonstrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna coming in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are many times words similar. It's referring to madness. It's premonmad or divyonmad. Premonmad means the madness of love. Divyonmad is a divine madness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would be talking with someone, and once he was just walking in Jagannath Puri with his associates, and they were talking, and one moment, he was talking with the next moment, he saw it disappear. Wondering, where is gone? And then they saw that he was just running away in a particular direction. And the devotees ran after him. And they found he had fainted. And they chanted Hare Krishna and brought him back to consciousness. So what happened at that time? He said, I saw Krishna behind that tree. He was playing his flute and calling me. And he just ran over there. So basically, here, there is a disconnection from material reality. But there is connection with spiritual reality. And that connection with spiritual reality is what actually is divinely uplifting. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had different kinds of mystical trances. One would be that he would just see something which no one else was able to see. So that was vision, where he would have divine visions. The second would be, he would have divine visions which would just make him unconscious. And where he would just be in another world, and the devotees would, they chanted loudly and they brought him back to physical reality. He would say, why did you get me back? I was absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. So there was first is just, physically he's conscious, but he's seeing something different. Second is, he starts seeing something different and he becomes unconscious. And third is that he not only becomes unconscious, but whatever he experiences causes extraordinary transformations in his body. Sometimes his body would become so long. Now his limbs would get extended as if there's nothing in between. Now it's like his limbs would be so long, the skin would be there, and he was already very tall, but his arms would get elongated, his legs would get elongated. So those were the times when Radharani would feel that Krishna is going away from me, and limbs would get extended to try to catch Krishna. The hands would get extended, the legs would get extended, and he was trying to catch Krishna in some way. So there were physical transformations that would result from his spiritual transportation of consciousness. From his transportation of consciousness to spiritual reality. So all these are very exalted and very extraordinary. And for us, what do? We are in a world where so many people take material intoxications. And of course, in the world today, the results of material intoxication are also well known in terms of how much harm it does. But how do we move towards spiritual intoxication? Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that to us through that intoxication was not in terms of some kind of otherworldly trance, Prabhupada's focus was on the intoxication came through dedication. Prabhupada manifested devotion as dedication to service. There were special occasions when Prabhupada would sometimes chant Jai Radha Madhava, just get transported to some other reality. Or he would ask some questions about the Goswamis once by Jadurani Mataji, and he just withdrew himself. The devotees with him felt as if he's no longer there with us. Harishauri Prabhu, when he would massage Prabhupada in Mayapur, if nobody else was in the room, and when somebody else was there in the room, he said Prabhupada's response was very different. He said, if nobody else was in the room, then it would have, he said, I felt as if Prabhupada would almost like leave his body and go to Mayapur Dham. He said, I felt as if when I was massaging his body, I felt as if like I was a car mechanic whom the car owner has brought the car into the mechanic and he's doing the overoiling and the owner has gone for a stroll. So like that, Prabhupada has gone to relish Mayapur Dham. But if somebody, a third person would be present, then Prabhupada would be more conscious. So there were extraordinary occasions when Prabhupada just became disconnected from physical reality and went to spiritual reality. But more importantly, Prabhupada's focus was not on himself going to spiritual reality. It was on creating pathways for everyone to go to spiritual reality. And that was his dedication. His dedication was that wherever we may be, that we try to serve Krishna and absorb ourselves in that service to Krishna. So, Gurudas Prabhu tells one when we asked for the offering about how first time when he was in Vrindavan, he came to Vrindavan first and he had read the Krishna book, he had heard about Vrindavan from Prabhupada and he thought, oh, Vrindavan is a place where there's Radha and Krishna's pastimes are being performed. And he said, this is such a wonderful place. And then Prabhupada came there. He said, this was a perfect moment for me. He said, now I will be in the spiritual world with my spiritual master. And then he came, Prabhupada came to the airplane and then they caught him into the car and Prabhupada was very grave, just chanting. He thought, hey, Prabhupada is meditating on Radha Krishna's pastime in the spiritual world. He was waiting, some drop of nectar will drop from Prabhupada. And Prabhupada did not speak, just chanted. And he was silent sometimes, chanting sometimes. And Prabhupada did not speak anything. And then the first words, finally came all the way from Delhi to Vrindavan, the first word that Prabhupada spoke, he said, cement, how are you going to get cement? So at that time, the devotees wanted to construct a temple and they were just not able to get cement. So what is your plan to get cement? So he said, at that time, says Prabhupada exemplified to me that the way to the spiritual world is not just by imagining, oh, things are so wonderful, it is through service. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, but Prabhupada's meditation was, okay, how to build a temple for Krishna in Vrindavan, by which people will be attracted to come to Vrindavan and experience Vrindavan. So eventually, after a lot of arrangement, the devotees made, got some cement. And when there several trucks came there, at that time, Prabhupada asked them, so have the trucks come, how many packets have come? And Prabhupada said that you should stand and make near the trucks and make sure that every single pack is taken. He said, have you locked it properly? What lock have you used? You know, Prabhupada asked so much carefully, so carefully about everything. And the devotee was there with him. He said, Prabhupada was treating the cement as if it was gold, as valuable as it was gold. Now in the Bhagavad Gita there is a verse that the spiritually advanced soul, they see samaloshtashma kanchana. They see stone, pebbles and gold equally. And at one level, it may mean that, you know, they see everything is material. None of this can give me happiness. Just as mud and stone can't give me happiness, even gold can't give me happiness. But a devotee's concern is not whether something can give me happiness or not. A devotee's concern is whether something can be used in Krishna's service. So Prabhupada's vision was, if cement can be used in Krishna's service, then cement is as valuable as gold. So the way to spiritual absorption is through absorption in service. The more we try to serve Krishna, the more we become absorbed in Him. And as we become more and more absorbed, then that service takes us to a different level of consciousness. At service takes us to where we are experiencing opportunity to serve Krishna, and we don't get so affected by our outer realities. As Srila Prabhupada, when he came to America, he was old, he was alone, he was without any money, and he was coming to a foreign land where he had never been before. But Prabhupada's vision was, how can I benefit the people? So the spiritual intoxication that Prabhupada exhibited was that he, even in America, he was not lost in thinking about Krishna in Vrindavan. He was thinking of Krishna in relationship to the people here. He says, Krishna, you are present in their hearts also. Although these people were completely materialistic, Krishna, you are present in their hearts also. Please, you make my words understandable to them. And, oh my dear Lord, make me dance. Make me dance. As you want, Aniyacha Jadi Prabhu Amari Nachate, Nachao Nachao Prabhu Nachao Samate. Please make me dance. So in the spirit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in Divyonmad. Where when he would dance in front of Rathyatra, he would be completely transported to another reality. Prabhupada was also praying to Krishna, make me dance. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dance, especially in his Antilila, was he was demonstrating the state of complete absorption in the spiritual world, with no connection with the material world practically. But Prabhupada's dance was complete absorption in how to elevate people from the material world to the spiritual world. How to rise in this way. So I'll conclude with an example that by such absorption, by trying to serve others and help them get elevated to the spiritual world, we ourselves also get elevated to the spiritual world. Normally, if we want to fly, say if you want to fly from here to New York, now we have to take a ticket. We have to pay the money. And after paying the money, we get purified, we get elevated. So Krishna talks about, Krishna uses the word parabhakti, pure devotion. And the Bhagavatam also uses this word. He says, how do you come to parabhakti? He says in 18.54 and 55, that when one practices yoga and then comes to the Brahman platform, Brahmanohi pratishti, Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kangshati, samah sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. Krishna says, after coming to the Brahman platform, when one becomes equipoised towards everything, then one will get parabhakti. One will get pure devotion, transcendental devotion. It is said that even by hearing about Krishna's esoteric pastimes, the Bhagavatam says, we will also get parabhakti. Vikriditam rajavadubiridam cha vishnu shraddhanvito anushunayadata varanayedhyah bhaktim param bhagvati patilabhya kamam hridrogamashva pahinotya chirena dhiraha. As if we faithfully hear Krishna's pastimes of the gopis with proper understanding, then we will get parabhakti, the supreme devotion. So that supreme devotion, which can be got by many, many lifetimes of practice of yoga, that supreme devotion which can be got by absorbing ourselves in Krishna's intimate pastimes, that same parabhakti, Krishna says, I will bestow to those who share my message with others. Ya idam paramam guhyam mad bhakteshu abhidhasyati bhaktim mai param kritva mame vaishatya samshaya. Again, parabhakti, Krishna says, that pure devotion will come for those who dedicate themselves to sharing my message with others. So going back to the airline metaphor, normally if you want to go from one place to another, we have to pay for it. But suppose somebody is employed by an airline agency, then they don't have to pay anything for it. They go anyway there and they are paid for going there. So like that, when we try to facilitate others going towards Krishna, if you worry too much, oh, how will I give up this? How will I give up that? How will I overcome this? Then it is we who want to elevate ourselves. That's like we want to go, then we have to pay for the flight. But if we strive to help others go there, then we become like a part of the flight agency. And then with far lesser effort, without any payment, we are taken by the flight agency. So like that, if we strive to assist Srila Prabhupada
in helping each other, in helping others come closer and closer to Krishna, then by Prabhupada's mercy, we will also be taken to Krishna.
So I'll quickly, thank you very much. I'll pray Krishna. So I'll quickly summarize, and then if you have some questions.
So I spoke today about how the difference between material intoxication and spiritual intoxication, that talked about three things, the consciousness, content and consequence. Everybody wants to escape from physical reality, but the way we escape is in materialistic consciousness, we can't face reality, so we run away from it. But in spiritual consciousness, we rise above it. And running away is relatively easy. Rising away requires, rising up requires effort. So material pleasures taste like nectar in the beginning, but like poison in the end. So spiritual happiness may taste like poison in the beginning. Why? Because the child doesn't want to drink. So the mother has to force to drink. And as the child starts tasting, then the child says, oh, this is good. Then it may start tasting like nectar. And in terms of consequence is that one become more and more entangled through material intoxication, where become addicted and degraded. Whereas the spiritual consciousness will become elevated and liberated. So spiritual absorption can come in various ways. One is that the devotee becomes completely otherworldly absorbed, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated, through his alternate visions, through his unconsciousness because it got transported to alternate realities, and through the physical transformation that happened in him. Prabhupada demonstrated that spiritual absorption. He sometimes went into alternate higher realities, but most of the time his focus was on how to take people to higher realities. And that was his meditation. Krishna, make me dance so that I can help others come closer to Krishna. And the same parabhakti, the pure devotion that can be got by impersonal liberation with great, great effort, by absorption in Krishna's intimate pastime, that can be got also by sharing Krishna's message with others. It's like we pay for going by airlines, but if we work for the airlines, then airlines takes us. So similarly, by trying to help others come to Krishna, we ourselves will also come to Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes,
sir. Hare Guru. Pleasure to meet you. I think we just missed each other in Trinidad. You were in Trinidad?
Yes.
I came right after you. Just a couple of quick comments and one simple question. You were quoting Oscar Wilde, the writer, and he was very sort of sarcastic in a way. Another thing he said was, I can resist anything except temptation.
Yeah.
It's a famous quote by him.
Yeah.
My mind's not working so well. Let me go right to the question. You mentioned that when Lord Chaitanya had that situation where he would, I never heard why his limbs get so extended, and you said because he was trying to catch Krishna, so he kind of stretched so much that physically it became like that. It was really, from a physical point of view, the devotees were aghast to see it, but actually it was wonderful. So could you also explain what the esoteric understanding is when he became like a tortoise, why he became condensed like that?
Okay. Yeah. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu withdrew himself, he became like a tortoise. What is the explanation for that? That is similar to the way Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, their limbs withdrew into their body. When they were hearing about Krishna, they didn't want any other distraction. So their limbs withdrew in. So when he was feeling separation from Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's limbs would expand. But when he would feel the proximity of Krishna, he wanted to experience Krishna entirely without any distraction. So his limbs would withdraw into himself.
Does that have any connection at all to Bhagavad Gita 258?
Yeah, I also thought
about that. Or is that stretching it to me?
Well, in 2.58, when Krishna says that just as a tortoise withdraws its limbs, there the focus of course is more on withdrawal from material reality because it distracts us, or because it deludes us. Here, there is withdrawal from external reality because we want to focus on Krishna. So we could say there's similarity in the sense that both are ways to avoid distraction. But the difference is that at least in 2.58, Krishna is not talking about bhakti directly. He talks about bhakti, he mentions it in 2.61, but he really gets into bhakti from the 7th chapter onwards. So there the focus may not be, so there the 2.58 is more of a defensive measure to avoid worldly temptations. But here it is a measure to increase absorption in Krishna.
And Bhagavad Gita taught this is more negative and more exalted, like Lord Chaitanya, that's a positive thing. Now I'm remembering my little comment, was that there is something they seem to have in common, the person in it's a verse you probably know, I think 11th canto, where it says that there are two types of people who are merged in ecstasy and in bliss in this world. One is the retarded, immature, dull jaga, dull fool, and the other is those who have taken shelter of the Lord who is beyond the modes, in other words, the self-realized. So they have something in common. They're both, one is in a paradise of fools, so he thinks he's in paradise, and the other is really in paradise, so to speak, because he's actually transcendent. So they do have that in common, that they both, of course, it's a fact that the the intoxicated person, Prabhupada saw, and when going back to 26 Second Avenue, we hear how he saw the drunkards. They would go out in a freezing cold winter day without any shirt, and they would think they were policemen and they would be directing traffic. This is not an uncommon sight. Prabhupada observed that. So they were in bliss, and they were, you know, they were like completely indifferent. But I would imagine the next day they may have got a very, very bad cold, and who knows who would take care of them. So it's not exactly the same situation. Yeah. Just want to mention. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, for you, please. Thank you. Yeah, here. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, I heard your class last week about how people are, and you were saying about how the movie industry and sports and so forth is trying to, you know, give people that. So it reminded me of actually my neighbor and her mother of. Written a very nice series of books about, actually read the two of the books that are out, and it's a very different experience. Some of the other books, like the Harry Potter series or something like that, it's so nice that that this family is taking this service on, and you had mentioned that as devotees we need to bring real enjoyment for people. So just wanted to tell everybody, if you get a chance to read these books, they're really absorbing, you know, spiritually intoxicating, actually.
Yeah, thank you. Yes,
I just said a simple kind of inquiry that, so escapism, they're trying to escape because that they don't feel mad there. So it's not really bad in that one sense, because they're trying to.
Yeah.
So not necessarily all negative bad.
Keep trying to escape. So because they're not satisfied, they're not experiencing spiritual happiness. See, two things when we consider the search for happiness, and there is a direction. Now, what am I searching for, and how am I searching for it? So, when there's a lecture of Prabhupada where he was talking to mostly hippies who had come for a Yatra festival. But he says, I appreciate you. This human life is meant to be frustrated. He says, when you become frustrated, then athato brahmachakyasa. Then you'll inquire about spirituality. So that means there are, basically, material life is not satisfying. But what does one do when that satisfaction doesn't come? One is that one explores, looks for something other than material. or something else apart from what everyone else everyone is looking for. Or someone keeps looking for the same thing again and again. So I watch this movie, it is boring. So I'll watch another movie, maybe that will be better. And as maybe especially in the internet, there are so many options. People start looking at one. So they just get more and more entangled by that. So when we look for the same plate, at least the people who are frustrated, they're looking for something else. But world itself, see, there are certain material pleasures which are considered acceptable. And certain material pleasures which are considered materially unacceptable also. Like in material circle, they say, drink, but don't become a drunk. So that's not so easily possible. Drink, but over a period of time, you become drunk. But the point is, there are certain pleasures which are materially unacceptable and certain pleasures which are materially acceptable. But from the spiritual perspective, those who seek the materially unacceptable pleasures, like say going into intoxication, going into drugs, some people may go into it because just hooked to it. But some people, at least the hippies, at least in the early years, they went into it because they believed that this will take them to a higher reality. So they ultimately, all search for happiness is a search for Krishna. But to the extent one can connect that with Krishna, to that extent they're redirected, then it's difficult to connect. So that's how it works. So I would say their intention is good, but the direction, if they get the association of devotees and by that they can direct a search towards Krishna then, or towards spiritual reality, then that is their fortune. So generally when there is frustration in the search for material happiness, if at that time somehow they can connect with Krishna or Krishna's devotees, then they will move towards Krishna.
Being made in the evening, Prabhupada says that's normal.
Yeah.
And we support that. It's not that we condemn.
Yeah.
Because they had body. But obsession
exactly
is bad.
Yes. Okay. So that is logical obsession. Then it becomes a spiritual distraction. Thank you very much. Yes, please.
Just a thought. It always stimulates the psychological view of things. So I was thinking that the most basic psychology is you want to please. That's the nature of the soul. It's the nature of Krishna. They want to please. But they don't know who to please, so they try to please their senses. That doesn't work. Try to please their wife, they try to please their country. Nothing works, but some siddhi, hari toshnam, then that works. So by all your activities, you're trying to find who can I please? What can I please? Because you can't stop trying to please all the time. So of course we have the pleasing potency. So we're perpetually pleasing potency by Prabhupada's purity.
Yeah, we cannot really be self-absorbed. We have to be focused on something else. And in that sense, we will be controlled by worldly objects, worldly people, then they manipulate us for our degradation. But if we... leads us to that. Thank you very much. Vantra Shri Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.